Praise the Lord. It's been good to be in the Lord's house. Certainly thank the Lord for his goodness to us and what Welcome Baptist Church means to me. I tell you, this place holds a great spot in my heart. Has been for many, many years, back even when Brother Cole was here. And not long after I got saved, actually, and surrendered to preach, Brother Cole preached revival for our pastor and Victory Baptist Church up in Rosamond. And got to know Brother Cole, and he took me kindly under his wing, and helped me out, gave me opportunities to preach. And I didn't know whether I was coming or going then. Still don't know if I know where I'm coming or going, but he'd still let me preach. And I think they voted me in as assistant pastor, but the check always kept getting lost in the mail for some reason, still to this day. So I recommended Brother Jarvis come down here, and I reckon he's been here, what, 30 years, close to it? 31 years, amen. Praise the Lord. I've not done a whole lot in my ministry, feels like, and we ought to all feel like that. If you feel like you've really done something, then you probably got a pride issue. But anyway, the Lord has allowed me to be able to recommend some men that have long-term pastorates, and that is such a blessing, amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles tonight and to Acts chapter 16. After what we just heard sung, I don't think that ought to. I sat back there with my bottom jaw laying in my lap like it. Can you believe that? That's the way the Lord works. That's the way the Lord works, amen. The song service and the preaching ought to always fit. Always go together. It don't always happen like that, but boy, it sure is a blessing when there is a God leading the song leader or the special numbers to go inside, to coincide with the, or like on Sunday morning, even the Sunday school hour. It's amazing to me how many times I've had teachers teaching in the Sunday school hour and then come up to me, and I didn't know what they'd taught. And come up to me after the service and said, I taught that this morning. I like it. That shouldn't seem odd to us, because the Holy Spirit of God that's in the teacher is in the preacher and in the singers. And if he's orchestrating everything, that some of it, if at least some of it, ought to coincide. Amen. But anyway, Acts chapter number 16. I'm interested in a subject that Lord has really been working in my heart, Brother Williamson, coming down the road. He aggravated me on that one. This text has been speaking to my heart for some time now, been working in my heart. I'm interested in the subject I think every church here absolutely needs. I need it. We need it. RBT needs it. And that is the superiority of spirituality. I think we're losing it. I think it's evident. Because the same Holy Spirit that was in Dr. Seitler's day, and I mean, you could go on back and name one right after another of the greats that we've heard about, and some of us have even met some of those. Same Holy Spirit. We're still in his dispensation. This is the church age. He's still, the Bible portrays the Holy Spirit to be active. In fact, the truth is, anything and everything that God is doing in this dispensation, he's doing it through and by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is in every believer. What would happen in this church, our church, any church here, if every believer would get serious about the Spirit of God and his purpose for being in them? There's no telling what God would be able to accomplish in this hour. Amen. And you could go back and you could study the titles of the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Life. Wonder where that's at. Wonder where he's at. Amen. I've got where I ask people, and I'll read here in a moment. I've asked people that gets in sin, and people say they're saved and all of that. And I say, where was the Holy Spirit of God in all of that? I'm not talking about somebody accidentally. I'm talking about planted intentional sin, wickedness, amen. And where was the Holy Ghost in that? Or an individual that practices social drinking? I said, where is the Holy Ghost at? I don't want to know what you've done. I want to know, where was the Spirit of God at? Where's his conviction? Where is his conviction? Where is the guilt? Amen. It's one thing to sin, but it's another to sin and enjoy it. Amen. Where's the Spirit of God at? I believe that since the Spirit of God is the source through which God is doing everything that he's doing in this dispensation, and everything that we do for God also must go through the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We're to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Nothing God does reaches us unless it goes through the Holy Spirit, and the other way is true as well. Nothing that we do, our singing, our preaching, our praying, nothing we do reaches God if it bypasses the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit of God is not in it, if the Spirit of God is grieved and quenched, I'm telling you, it's ineffective. I've never seen anybody get saved in a service where the Spirit of God was quenched and grieved. And we could labor on that, and all of this is known to everybody here. I understand that. But this is a reminder. We need to be reminded once again of the importance, paramount importance of our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And most people never think about it. Most Christians or professing Christians never think about it. Their relationship to the Holy Spirit of God. Does it bother you when he's not leading you? Does it bother you when he, amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, correct? How can you hide that? If the Spirit of God is leading you through the week, how can you hide that? It will be evident in your life, amen. Because the Spirit of God will be free to work and speak. I question why are we not seeing a lot of people saved? I'm talking about in our fundamental Bible-believing churches. We got our doctrine right and all that. Why are we not seeing a lot of people saved? Now, you can throw it off on this is the last days and all. You can throw that off and tell Bozo to clown that, but I don't believe that. I believe there's not a lot of people getting saved because most people that are saved have very little to do with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And he's in you. The Spirit of God is in you when you got saved, at that moment. He didn't come and go. He's not visiting you. He's indwelling you. But where is the fruit of that? The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Where's the fruit of that? Where's the evidence of that? Amen. And I really do believe that spirituality is measured by your relationship to the Holy Spirit of God. Is he filling you? Is he leading you? Is he maturing you? Is he producing Christ-likeness in you? And the list goes on. Amen. You only have two options. Spirituality, I'm talking about you if you're saved. You got two options because you have two natures. You have the option of carnality. You can't hide that either. Or spirituality. And you can't hide that either. In fact, you don't want to hide it. Amen. Amen. I believe a lot of people that's lost really don't want to be saved because they've never been exposed to what the Spirit of God is able to do. They've never been exposed to a real Christian walking in the Spirit, walking under His government, walking under His control. You know that's right, folks. Every church here's probably got these people in it that they have two lives that they live. They have a church life. They have the church wardrobe. And then they got a Monday through Saturday wardrobe. And then they got a Monday through Saturday life. And they just got a little switch in their heart. And they just, okay, well, it's Sunday. Ching. Cut the carnal off and flip on the spiritual. Well, I wish it was that easy. Don't you? But should we not be concerned about the lack of the power and the moving and the mantle? You know what Jesus said about the Spirit of God? When He has come, He will glorify me. And I believe that's going to be something personal. It's going to be something that goes on in your life privately. It's going to be something that goes on in your life publicly. I believe every believer has the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if every believer that has the Holy Spirit within them, which is all that are saved, are walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God, amen, interested in His purpose, and that is 24/7 through the week, and then we all assemble together in one place, good night. There ought to be so much power. Instead of one or two having a touch on them, everybody is worshiping. Everybody is singing the hymns in the congregational number. Anointed of God. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Amen, that's right. Listen, when I got saved January 20th, 1981, on the second night of what ended up being a 7-week revival meeting, I got exposed. I got exposed. I sat on those pews for 20 years. There's no way to count how many messages I've heard or been exposed to, just all kind of Bible exposure because our family was thick with a godly heritage. But I never got saved until I was exposed to the real power of God. Brother Larry and Miss Lynn also was in that meeting. Amen. Brother Stanley, I don't know if he was here today or not, Brother Stanley Edcock, he was involved in that. My sister Kelly was involved in that meeting. I got exposed to the real. I got exposed to the Spirit of God and His purpose. I'm not talking about something wild, crazy, off the wall. I'm just talking about the Spirit of God working. And we just heard it sung about, the text before us, how that God moved. And you cannot look at that text and read that text, and Miss Natalie testified about it. I started to say, preach on, sis, preach on. You cannot read that text without believing that earthquake and the stocks falling off and the cell doors opening was in response to their praying and their praising. You amen. It wasn't just a happenstance. It wasn't some kind of weather-related phenomenon. No, God was hearing the praying, and God was hearing, amen, God was hearing the praising, and he liked it, and he shook things up, and he opened things up. And there's going to be people in heaven that we'll get to meet one day that come out of them cells. We know the jailer got saved in his household. I believe it, we can't prove it, or I don't know where you can prove it, but I believe that a lot of those, if not all of those prisoners, got saved as well. Because you know why? Here's my take on it. Prisoners are wanting out. And now the chains are fell off of them. The doors are open. Hey, I promise you, I'd have said, hey, adios, muchachos. I'd have been out the door, friend. But none of them left. None of them left. They all migrated through the darkness to those two new jail inmates that were singing and praying. And they were standing around Paul because he said, we're all here, right? And they all heard Paul tell the jailer when he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas in unison said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Are you listening? All of those heard that. Now, whether we don't know, we'll know one of these days. But I believe in my heart there were several in that group of prisoners that got saved because they were exposed. Amen. I'm getting a little head right here. They were exposed to somebody that was abnormal. That's right. God help us. Amen. I like it. Acts chapter 16. I could start up in the early verses of it, but listen. Miss Natalie's done helped us with our introduction. Thank you, sis. Where you at? Thank you, sis. Appreciate it. I'm saying that seriously. Thank you. Amen. All right. Look at verse number, let's start at verse 19. Don't encourage that. Keep it up, sis. Amen. Let's start up in verse number 19. This is what got Paul and Silas in trouble, is the damsel that got saved. Boy, I wish I had time to deal with that. How that what she was saying was correct. What she was saying there in verse 17, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation, and this did she many days. But look at this statement. Here comes Paul's discernment. That's missing too in our churches. People having discernment. Go beyond what it sounds like. Go beyond who it is that says it and go and discern the source of it. And this she did many days, but Paul being grieved, Paul knew there was something wrong, not because of what she was saying, but who it was that was saying it. And he turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. who, having received such a charge, thrust them, that cast them and thrust them, that wasn't handling them tenderly. It was treating them worse than a dog, amen. My goodness. Thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. These are two words that's important. Unto God. Come on now. The word unto means point reached. I wonder how much of our singing never gets unto God. How much of our praying never gets unto God. Amen. That's right. And the Bible says here, they did that. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. That's a pivotal statement right there. And the prisoners heard them. Had they been praying silently? Had they been singing just in their heart, real silent, just between the two of them over in a corner somewhere, this whole story would not have happened. Amen.
That's right.
It was an inopportune place. It was at an inopportune time. They're physically wasn't in a good condition. Their backs were bleeding, been beat with many stripes. But that did not stop them from being spiritual.
Amen.
Can I say right here, amen, there's more coming through my head than I can get out. Are you listening? Listen, them being spiritual men, and we know that already by the fact the Holy Spirit of God was leading them to not go in places in verse number 6 and also verse number 7 of chapter 16. So these men were already, they knew the Spirit of God. They knew the voice. They knew the woes and the no's as well as the goes of the Holy Spirit of God. So we know the Holy Spirit, these men were spiritual men. But spirituality did not stop the beatings. Spirituality did not stop the way they were treated. Amen. But it did stop the effects of it. For as inwardly, outwardly they were beat. But the man, the new man on the inside wasn't beat. Outwardly, the outward man, the feet was in the stocks. But the inward man was not in the stocks. Amen. Whoo. Amen, that's right. Amen, that's right. Outwardly, they were in jail. But inwardly, jail wasn't in them. Amen. Amen. If they'd have been like me, the story wouldn't have happened. I'm just being honest. Because I promise you, I probably wouldn't have been singing. And if I had been praying, it would have been so selfish, get me out of here. Yeah, praying, yes. Those, Lord, you saw the one stripe in my back. Kill them. But there's no indication that Paul and Silas got bitter or angry or hateful or spiteful. No. Amen. That tells me that you being spiritual in suffering times, struggling times, is a choice that comes from a condition. Amen. We're more concerned about conditions than we are our condition. You making it or not is not going to be determined by what is happening to you, how much of it, or how hard is it, or how, no. Whether you make it or not is being determined by your condition on the inside. And that, my friend, is something that most people give no attention to. Amen. You say, preacher, I'd like to have a new pastor. I'll tell you how you can get you a new pastor. You start walking in the Spirit. come to church full of the Holy Ghost, having prayed in the Spirit all week, dealt with everything that the Spirit of God put His finger on in your life all week long, and your pastor will preach in a gear that he didn't know existed. And you'll probably end up getting a new pastor because he'll probably preach himself to death. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I don't know what's wrong with our pastor. He's struggling, seem like. Well, probably you. Yeah. I mean, I hate to be so blunt. It's probably you. Amen. 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 God sends a message to a crowd that don't want to hear it. Or has already heard all week long nothing but carnality and world and social media and they don't even hardly recognize the voice of God. Lord, help us, amen. Oh my goodness. The superiority of spirituality in your life as a young person, amen. The younger you get a hold of this, and as the sooner you bring those, your salvation and that together. In fact, I was going to point out one of the things is that their spirituality started the day they got saved. Yeah, right. You say, how do you know? Go back to Acts chapter 9. You know the story. This all is familiar. Yeah. Tell right, Miss Natalie. Come on. I'm rubbing it in, Brother Doug. I'm rubbing it in. It's familiar. God told Ananias, said, go to a street called Straight. So I want you to go over there, and I want you to tell Saul what great things he must suffer. Well, that don't sound like encouraging discipleship, does it? Huh? But the man went and preached that message to Saul, and Saul suffered nearly every day of his life. Beat, shipwreck, snake bites, abandonment, night and a day in the deep. I mean, all kinds of, amen. But it didn't throw him off course because God let him know up front that you're going to suffer, big boy. He didn't say big boy. I threw that in there. Amen. But Saul suffered, but guess where? When Ananias showed up on the street called Straight, guess what Paul was doing? Or Saul, whose name was turned to Paul. Guess how many knows what he was doing? Behold, he prayeth. We don't know where he learned to sing, but we do know his praying started on the day of his conversion. Where's that at? Why don't we see that? Nobody, he didn't set in no discipleship classes, and I'm not against that. Don't go out here and say Preacher Rack is preaching against that. No. I'm just saying that the Spirit of God comes inside of the believer at the point of conversion. Amen. And right off the bat, the Spirit of God is going to start leading you to pray. Learn to talk to your Father. Behold, he prayeth. So we knew that started. His spirituality started on the day of his salvation. That is a biblical pattern. Amen. What was it Paul told Timothy? That referring to himself, that he would be a pattern to all of them which should hereafter believe. Brother Kirchinger, if he's a pattern to all of them, that's us, including us, that would believe, and he started praying on the day of his conversion, the day of his salvation, he done had a spirituality that was talking to God. Amen. Don't you think that should be in everybody's life that gets saved? I just said I think it should be anyway. Amen. Let me give you this. This is good right here. How many believe that we need this superiority of spirituality? Personally, and our churches collectively. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. If our churches had the power, the manifested power of God. And again, I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm against that. I hate wildfire, but I hate no fire too.
Amen.
And we don't have to settle for neither one of those. That's not the two options. Take one or the other. No, there is God's fire. There's that fire of God. Amen. Just listen to this. I don't even have notes on this. I just got the points wrote down. Wrote them out there in the parking lot. Say amen, Brother Williamson. Listen, the Spirit of God needs you to be spiritual. The Spirit of God needs you to be spiritual. Why? So He can work through you instead of having to work on you. If Paul and Silas had been carnal, the Spirit of God wouldn't have been able to do what he did because he would have been having to work on them to try to get them to where they needed to be. But instead, they were already spiritual. It was already a serious matter to them to be right with the Holy Spirit of God. And so when they were needed, even in a time of suffering, even at an inopportune time, in an opportune place, in a cell, and it was dark, they were ready to serve. They were ready to pray. They were ready to sing. The Spirit of God needs us to be spiritual so He can fulfill His purpose in our life. Oh my goodness. It was at midnight. Listen, you can't get too dark. It can't get too dark for the Spirit of God to say, okay, I'm bowing out. It's too dark. I can't do anything. No, He can work, but He's got to have a Paul and a Silas. He's got to have a channel. He's got to have a conduit for Him to work through. I think we miss that. We know it doctrinally. We know that's true, but I think we miss it. The Spirit of God, Brother Mullins, is limited by us. It's not the drunks on the street that limit Him. It's not the liberals that's limiting Him. It's people that have Him on the inside that have got Him so restrained only to do certain things and only speak on and put His finger on certain things that it's hard for Him to get anything accomplished. And I believe that's where we're at. And I don't like it. I just don't like it. Sunday morning at the church, God in His, we're in a missions month. We do four Sundays of missions in August. And plus we're hosting the Prayer Baptist Mission School 17th through the 20th. So we're getting a good dose of missions this month. But God just seemed to set, our youth choir was singing Sunday morning. And they started singing that He's been there in the good times and the bad. He's been there. And I mean, He walked up and down the pews and He come through there. And people we'd been praying for, Brother Doug, that in regular services, could I say it like that? Just regular services. You know what regular services are? Just regular things happen or don't happen. I watched a young lady in our church that had been struggling and showing signs of departure. And I watched God reel her back in. To God be the glory. Amen. I said, oh God, the week before I was praying for her. I said, God, if you don't do something quick, if you don't do something quick, because the path of departure is never level. It's a decline. Every step is further away and further down. I said, Lord, if you don't do something, oh my goodness. And He showed up. And she hit the altar twice in one service. You say, what was that all about? Maybe she didn't get all she needed that first trip. Most people I know that needs to get right with God is going to take more than one trip to the altar. Say amen right there. Amen. The Spirit of God needs you to be spiritual. Yourself needs you to be spiritual. Paul himself needed for him to be spiritual. Silas the same. Amen. Their singing needed to be spiritual. Not just the content of it, not just the wording of it, but and the doctrine of it, but it needed to have some juice on it. Y'all understand that? They were singing, but then they were singing. It's a big difference. It's like preaching, and I've done a lot of that, but then there's times that God will throw you out in the river and let you dig in. Amen. Nothing like it. Brother Webb, there's no substitute for anointed Holy Ghost preaching. Amen. There's no substitute for it. Let me move on. Hurry. Spirit of God needs you to be spiritual. Yourself needs you to be spiritual. Your singing needs you to be spiritual. Your supplication prayer needs to be spiritual. Hope y'all are getting this. Your service, serving the Lord, requires that you be spiritual. And again, your spirituality is determined and measured by your relationship to the Holy Spirit of God and how much of an influence does He have in your life. Amen. Sinners need you to be spiritual. Amen. Paul, when they were told there in verse 6, you know, they were planning to go into Asia, and the Holy Ghost forbid them to go. Wow, that's something, isn't it? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then they were making a move in another direction and was making a move into different towns. And guess what happened? Again, the Spirit of God suffered them not. It wasn't that He's against those in Asia or any of these other places. I tell you what, I believe He had some jail inmates in His mind and a jailer on His mind and a Lydia, the seller of purple on His mind and a damsel, amen, that was a slave to sin on His mind. Hallelujah, amen. You say, would God turn the preaching of the Word of God away from a continent and a nation for individuals? Oh, yeah. Yeah, He'd do that. It's not that He was against them. It was Paul had a purpose. I need you here. And it involved suffering. It involved beatings. It involved all of that. The sinners needs us to be spiritual. What good is it for sinners to come and sit on our pews and just hear the skeleton of what it should be? Sinners needs us to be spiritual. And here's the greatest of all of them. The sovereign needs us to be spiritual. They were carrying out the will of God here. Amen. Lord help us, Jesus. Amen. Their spirituality started in salvation. Their spirituality was their seriousness. Do we not need a revival of that in our churches? I'm talking about seriousness. Revival of seriousness. Stirring of seriousness. I just jotted this down. The seriousness of something can be seen in how quickly you lay it aside for a contrasting circumstance. How quick are we to trade off the spiritual when it's in a time or a place where it would be uncomfortable for us to mind the Lord? Amen. Spirituality was serious. Their spirituality was their survival. Amen. Carnality kills. To be carnally minded is death. Their spirituality was their steadfastness. They wasn't no quit in them. Circumstances was terrible. None of it felt good. Amen. Paul never said to Silas, wasn't this great? I think I'm bleeding a little bit more than you are. No. These were real men in a real situation that remained spiritual on the inside. And it manifested itself verbally. Externally. Manifested itself. It wasn't manifested visibly because it was dark. Most people, that's where they would have got off. If they can't be seen, count me out. That's right. If they can't be seen, cut the light on, then we'll sing. Better than that, turn that spotlight on, then I'll pray. But when it's total black, dark, midnight, in a jail, bad situation, bad circumstance, didn't feel good, smell good, or nothing else good, they said, let's get with it. And they started praying unto God. Amen. Not praying as a formality, not praying to just go through a ritual. They were, in fact, talking to a God above. What would that do in our churches if we would just go from praying to praying unto? Not towards God, but unto Him. Point reached. Amen. Y'all doing good? I put that as a statement. I hope I don't have to put that as a question. Their spirituality, not only was their steadfastness, their spirituality was their separation. They were in jail. Let me just say it this way. Where they were never changed what they were. You know why? Their spirituality kept them separated unto God, even in a place where it was inhabited with sinners. That's good right there. I believe if people would get full of the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't struggle so much about their separational issues. And I know, friend, what day and hour we're living in. Separation never gets preached in most churches. Never. Amen. I'm not talking about independent Baptist stuff. I'm talking about Bible doctrine. Anyway, help us, Lord. They didn't choose their circumstances, but they sure did choose their condition and their choices. I like it. Their spirituality, Brother Rao, was their success. The entire outcome of this story where the jailer got saved, I guess how many of you knows who that jailer was? We're pretty confident we know who that is. How many knows who it is? Stephanus. Remember when Paul said in the Corinthians, he said, I baptize none of you save the house of Stephanus or Stephanus. Don't get too excited about that. Lord, have mercy. You know who one of Paul's faithful, refresher men was? Stephanus. Said he oft refreshed me. He got saved. You know why? He went from beating up or participating in that whole torture scene of Paul. Now he's washing him and putting ointment on him and inviting him over to the house to eat. Yeah, they got saved. When they start wanting to feed the preacher, that's a good sign. Come on, preachers. Right there's you a good spot to say amen. Listen. Here's how serious that is. That jailer had done unsheathed his sword. Paul heard it because it was dark, midnight. He didn't see that. He heard it. He heard that sword come out, and he knew. There's that discernment he had again. He knew right then, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Amen. Nobody knew. The jailer didn't know. Mrs. Jailer didn't know. And the little juniors and sissy jailers didn't know. But Miss Jailer come within a few seconds of being a widow. The kids came within just a... He's the closest one that the closest one to going to hell, but didn't go, because there was a man of God, two men of God in being that took their spirituality serious and made sure it wasn't just a sideline ornament, but it was something that would govern and guide my life. Talking about their spirituality. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Isn't that something? That's a blessing, isn't it? Anyway, let me give you this, and I'm going to the house, figuratively speaking. I'm just going to skip down here. Listen to this right here. What was it that attracted? Of course, we all agree it was the spirituality of Paul and Silas that attracted those men when they got out of their cells and the stocks fell off, and they migrated through the darkness and made their way through the darkness to those two voices that were singing and praying at midnight. What was it? Let's see if you, I'm going to give you a checklist. See if you line up. Their spirituality made them to be authentic. They were genuine. No put on, nothing shallow, nothing superficial. I'm telling you, friend, you can fake me, you can fool me. It don't take much. But I'm telling you, you cannot fool the Holy Spirit of God. He's not going to show up because you look good. He's going to show up because you're living according to His guidelines and His book. Amen. You can't treat the Holy Spirit like you're the one in charge. I know it's getting quiet in here, but y'all been here all day. You can't do that. You say, well, I'm going to do what I want. It's my life. No, it's not your life. If you're saved, you resigned ownership of your life the moment that Jesus became your Savior and your Lord. Amen. That needs to start being preached a little bit more often, I think. Because a lot of people claim when they get saved, now, okay, good, praise the Lord. I've got hell insurance. I'm not going to hell. Wonderful, praise the Lord. And they continue to live their life. Listen, Jesus never gave His life so you keep yours. And I just described the majority of people that claim to be saved. In this hour, they continue to live their own life. They change very little. Very little gets changed. Anyway, it made them authentic. Amen. It showed that they were real. The jail didn't change them. The beatings did not change them. How they were treated unjustly did not change them. It rather manifested their realness. Oh, my goodness. Help us, Lord. That's right. Boy, there's so much more we could say on that. Not only does it show them to be authentic, number two, if you want to just write this down, check it off. Are you real? Are you real at your house? Does your family think you are saved? Does your friends, do they think you're real? By listening to you? By watching you? Oh, it's getting good in here. See, this jubilee, this is jubilee preaching. It'll get us up to that place where we can shout the victory and all of that. Amen. They were real. They weren't chameleon Christians that just has the special gift of adaptation. Whatever, wherever they are, they just kind of blend in. No, they stayed separated in their whole, no matter where they were, they remained to be what they were. But abnormal is the second one. They were authentic, but also they were abnormal. It wasn't normal what they were doing. Singing at midnight, especially singing the songs they were singing. That was weird to all of those prisoners. And their language, they're talking to God. Hey. What? Prisoners thought, what in the world? Who is that? They were abnormal. We've lived so subnormal that if we were to live a normal Christian life, everybody would think we was abnormal. You know that's right. So they was authentic. They were abnormal. Here, I like this. They were audible. They weren't quiet, secret, whispering. No, they wanted that outfit to hear them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Though they weren't singing to the crowd. Yeah. They were singing to God. Right. And he must have liked it. Because he got I don't know how he caused that earthquake. He may have got happy. Elvis didn't come up with no jailhouse rock. Paul Silas did. They got to singing and praising God at midnight, backs bleeding, the stocks on their feet, amen, in a jail cell, unjustly beaten, but inside they were still able to worship. Have you ever looked at yourself? I have mine. I have myself. What little, almost nothing stops us from worship. You know that's right. I mean, almost nothing. Somebody could not shake my hand, or somebody could look like they might have the poochy lip at what I'm preaching, and here the bulldog starts scratching at the gate. Come on. They were audible. Amen? Actually, it was their life that was sounding out, not their looks. Number three, four, whatever this one is, they were abiding. They had a spirituality that was abiding. Paul said, we are all here. Thank God Paul and Silas didn't skip out soon as the stocks fell off and the doors opened. That's what I would have done probably. How many else would join me and say, preacher, that's exactly what I'd have done. I would have said, thank you, Jesus, for answering prayer. I'm out of here. Wouldn't you have done that? Come on, wouldn't you have done that? I mean, you just got through praying. And listen, we don't know what they prayed. But knowing Paul and his manner is and his custom is, I guarantee you he was praying for those prisoners. Why? Because God don't have to hear, you don't have to be loud for God to hear you. Paul and Silas wanted the prisoners to hear the voice of realness, praising and praying. They were audible. This is the most silent Christianity that's ever been since Pentecost. There's people goes months and months and never even whisper any kind of a witness to anybody. Amen. Some have never testified other than the time they first initially told that they got saved. They've never testified in assembly since then. I don't see how you do that. If you can hide it, you don't have it. That's all I know. They were abiding. They said, we're all here. The superiority of spirituality. and the effectiveness that it had in that scene right there. And I believe that we'll meet some of those people in heaven one day that got saved. Because Paul and Silas never treated their spiritual life as something that could be optional. Let's wait and see the city. Let's wait and see the setting before we decide how spiritual that we're going to be. Anyway, let's bow for prayer.